Good morning.
I'm Mary. You may remember in my story last week, I was finding a little peace and solace visiting my cousin Elizabeth in the countryside. I wanted to stay there forever, but the day came when I knew I had to go back home to face Joseph. Oh, was he angry? But you see, he didn't have the light, and his pride was injured. Oh, but he married me anyway, he did. And you think that he didn't know what people were saying about him behind his back? Well, of course he did. Of course he did. But we grew so close during those hard times, everyone pointing at me, whispering behind my back. And as if things weren't bad enough, just before the child was to be born, the Romans appointed a new governor who would change the way we were to be taxed. Instead of the tax collectors coming to us, we had to go, each family group, to the city of our ancestors. That meant we had to leave Jerusalem and travel 80 miles to Bethlehem, the city of David. By night, we slept under the trees, and by day, we traveled along the eastern bank of the Jordan as far as Jericho, coming out of Samaria into the foothills of Judea. We saw camels carrying the silks of Damascus and the gold of Arabia, and the road was alive that starlit night with families traveling on camels, on donkeys, but mostly on foot. And then suddenly, I felt my child stir within me. As I looked to Joseph, he turned around to me, and our eyes met just as the baby moved. I wondered then at the mystery of love as we continued on into that starry night.
So she tells a story. Joseph was angry, she says. She says something really interesting about that. She says that he couldn't find the light. What an interesting way to think of anger. When I think back on times I have felt angry, I think that is exactly what was going on. I'd lost sight of the light. I'd lost sight of the truth, at least temporarily. Can you relate to that? That there is, when we are in truth, when we are in the light, generally anger doesn't have a place there. It doesn't mean it's not okay to feel anger. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But that anger is a pathway to something more. A pathway back, perhaps, all of our feelings into the light. So what dissipates Joseph's anger? What dissipates our anger when we are in those states of being? In a word, it's love, right? The many different ways that love might show up, the many different ways that love may come to the rescue, a memory of something, a healing that happens inside of us, a sense of forgiveness, a little bit of compassion or empathy from somebody around us. All the different ways that love may come our way helps us to dissipate the anger. Breathing into the truth, giving a little more expansive energy, making way for spirit to come in and to shift and to transform us, to help us find our way back. And Joseph's anger did dissipate in order for him to be able to continue on his journey to make his commitment to marry Mary as he intended. And what was that but love that pulled him? We find our way back to the light, to the divine truth, through this powerful pathway of love. So we do it by dropping into our hearts, right? And when anger is present, have you ever noticed that when you drop into your heart, when you begin to feel that, when you begin to become aware of what's going on inside of you, that there's always something underneath the anger? Usually it's something like sadness or disappointment or some other kind of feeling that we realize, what it is that causes that fuse, right? There's something underneath there. And when we sink into that, when we feel that, that's when the healing begins. That's when the opening is allowed. That's when the love can pour forth. So people were pointing fingers. They were whispering about Joseph and Mary. They were gossiping. They were bad-mouthing them. And in the midst of all that, Mary says that we grew closer during those hard months. That bond of love gets strengthened when the going gets tough, doesn't it? When challenges are all around us, we tend to unite with each other. We've seen this in the collective many times during the pandemic. When difficult things are happening in our world, we come together in a way that we help each other that's so profound that we see the goodness in humanity. Sometimes I think the difficult things happen so we can be reminded of the goodness of humanity because of the way that we rally, that we come together. And what is it that pulls us together but the very power of love, that essence that is within us all. And that's really what it's all about, what the story is all about, what Christmas is all about, what our spiritual journey is all about, what unity is all about, right? When it's a word that holds so much. So Mary's story helps us unfold it a little bit more, see a little bit more of how the journey to Christmas, the journey to our spiritual awakening and the rebirth of this essence within us we call the Christ or the divine is really a journey of love. And it's love that carries us. It's love that takes us there. It's the resilience of love that helps Mary and Joseph through the challenging time and that bonds them together. Love binds us together. Love heals whatever needs to be healed, weaves us back together in wholeness, reminds us of our oneness with all. Mary's love, her pure devotional love, her, you know, we know a little bit about her background from different texts, that she was raised in a temple from the age of 3, that her life was all about being steeped in prayer and spiritual practice and ritual and ceremony. She had a really big love for spirit. She had a very devoted kind of love. And I imagine it just exuded from her, still does today if you tune into that love, and that Joseph was transformed by it too, that it helped him on his journey back to light by being in her presence and by the love that they felt between them, allowing them to move ahead. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and one of you loses your way? One of you forgets about the light or can't find the light, temporarily at least? And the other one, ideally in a healthy relationship, can then hold the space, can rise up to that higher ground of love, can be that space of love. Sometimes it's one of us holding space, and sometimes it's one of us lost and trying to find our way back. In a healthy relationship, chances are that we play both roles, and that there is this give and take of holding space for each other in love and then helping each other find the light and finding our way back when we are lost, for a moment anyway. You know, when you think about the journey that we're on, the spiritual journey that we're on, or any journey that we take, it's always helpful, isn't it, when we've gone a distance to turn around and to look to see from where we have come. You ever do that occasionally? Reflecting back on your life, on the history of your life, on the different turns that you have taken along the way. And when we look back, in this case, in this journey of Advent, we stand in a place of love now, and we look back through peace and back to faith where we began the journey. And when we stand in love and we look with from that lens of faith, it brings the question about what do we believe about love? What is it that our faith knows about love? What is that sense of what love is about? And this is what I feel like I know, and maybe a lot of people in our world know, because when you think about all the music out there that speaks that the it's essential, right? It's a key ingredient, love. It's all the music that says, you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing, right? That the world needs, that all we need is love. Another song. There are so many, right? We could go on and on and on. But when you think of all those songs, sometimes they get a little limiting because they only hone in on romantic love. And yet we're talking about a love that is much bigger and broader than that, that might be romantic love and so much more. It's divine love in all of its forms and all of its ways that it permeates the universe and permeates our connections and the forms of our relationships with each other. But that need that it speaks to, that the music speaks to, that I feel like I know when I stand in the place of love and I look back to the journey through the lens of fear and I say, what do I know about love? I know we need it. I know it's an essential ingredient, as essential as water, as essential as food, as essential as air. Every baby needs love, right? Every baby needs attention. We come into the world in a way, kind of needy for love, and in another way, pure love, the embodiment of pure love. And our journey on earth is this beautiful dance of these two kinds of knowings and needings, and therefore fulfilling and giving and receiving. Sometimes to reflect back on, just think back to a time when there was just one, right? There was not all these forms and there was not this physical experience. If we go back to an origin point somewhere, maybe in the celestial bodies, and that we're through the divine intelligence of the universe, and you think, out of that divine intelligence came this plan, came this form, came this life. Out of that space of the divine intelligence of the universe over the, you know, go back to Genesis, if you will, that spirit that was over the face of the waters of the deep, or out into the starry skies, from that idea that science says that we are made of stardust, and you go from that, whatever it is, the big bang, the big awakening, the moment that says creation is beginning. When we can bring ourselves to that space, to that higher viewpoint, to that original idea, we are in the presence of pure love. Love that wants to know itself. Love that creates itself in its many forms, so its many forms can learn and grow and transform and make its way back home to love. Love is all there is, some say, and I think it's probably true. It's the base of who we are. It's what we're made of, physically, mentally, spiritually, and most especially on this particular journey of Mary's, emotionally. It's the feeling nature that is key. As Mary and Joseph continue on their journey in the story, they're doing it in concert with other people. There is a sense of other families traveling with them, a sense of maybe community. They are in concert with people. They are connected to animals. Some of them carried on, some of them riding the animals, some of the things I imagine on the animals, the supplies and so on. The trees provide their shelter at night. The stars, the canopy of stars over them is like a guiding light that reminds them of this allness, right? The allness, our first principle in unity, the allness of the divine. There's also the distinct feeling of mother energy, divine mother energy that seems to be emanating and pulsating through that night. And then there's this moment that happens. There's this moment where suddenly Mary feels this child move within her womb. And at that very moment, something in Joseph intuitively knows to turn around and they meet each other's eyes. What's happening? There's so much happening in the story. It's It's happening all the time. This kind of magic and miracle and mystery and holiness is here right now. Right now. And in the next moment. There is not really time, of course, but our minds have a hard time wrapping around that. So we'll just say this moment and the next moment. But each one a present holiness. And every time we tune into this portal of love, every time we drop in and we know it and we become aware of the presence, every time we open our senses to recognize that all around me, all these life forms, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the people, the humans around me, the solid earth beneath me, the starry skies above me, it's all conspiring for the fulfillment of my memory, of my remembrance of who I am, the fulfillment of the carrying forth of what I have to give to the world, a co-creation of love with my spirit and with all the souls I've been connected to throughout this lifetime and beyond, and all those I have yet to meet, and all those who are conspiring for my good that I cannot see or I have not yet met or I only can sense in an energetic way. It's powerful when we begin to get clear, when we begin to open up, when we begin to feel, That's the key. That's what Mary is showing us. That's what Mary is all about. She's the embodiment of the divine feminine. And guess what? So are we. Each of us, male, female, any gender expression, that does not matter. That's not what it's about. But it's this feminine energy that has been so long repressed, so long hidden, so long oppressed, that we go into dark times because we are so out of balance. And we can see that in the world. We can see the overt masculine energy of the world that has been dominating for so long. And hear me clearly, masculine energy is a good thing. We need both. It's not about, oh, we got to throw that one out and go over to this one. That would just create another kind of problem. But that if something has been hidden and suppressed for so long, belittled and discounted in us and in our society and with each other, then what we will continue to see is violence and war and overzealous masculine energy. But when they come together, beautiful. When they come together, it's like that moment when Joseph almost could feel the child moving in Mary's womb. And he knew that something just happened. And he felt the pull of love for her, from the universe, from the divine mother, from the Christ energy yet to be born. And he knew to turn and to look and to make that connection. And that's what we need to do on our journey. To trust it, to know when we feel that knowing, when we feel that nudge, that we are being asked to stop, to pause, to be in it, to look, to feel, to know, to remember, to connect again with love. So it is through all of this, through that movement, you know, that it feels like to me it was that first emanation of the Christ that said, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. And there is that presence in the midst of them in that moment. And there is that presence in the midst of us right now. As we gather here, as we sing our songs and play our music and do our prayers and meditate, why do we do all of this? Why do we keep doing this? What keeps you coming back time and time again? What allows you to be on the camera at home tuning in? What is the pull? What is the desire? What are you seeking? What are you being asked to do? What are you trying to awaken to? What is this thing that causes us to want to do this age-old thing of gathering together on Sunday mornings or Saturdays or whenever these communities come together? What is it about this? It's the pull of love. It's the desire for us to remember. It's like I think I misplaced something. It's that feeling, right? It's like I think something's out of place. Something, and then I come back in community. I come back to a place where I'm remembering. I come back and I hear a message, or I hear a song, or I feel something, or I connect with somebody, and I go, "Wow, I thought that the world was going to hell in a handbasket." And then I came in here and I got my hope restored. And then I came in here and I remembered. I had a feeling. I had an experience. I had an awakening. My heart opened. I remembered to feel again. I remember, that feels so true, that the divine feminine has been just discounted and trampled and oppressed. And that makes me so sad. But I come in here and I have hope. I have hope that I can be somebody who helps bring it forth, that I can be somebody who helps restore the balance of the earth, that I can be somebody who helps Mother Earth restore herself so that human beings and animals can continue to thrive upon this planet, that all the beautiful forms of life, that all those variations that were once created out of the divine intelligence of the universe can be restored to the fullness of their vitality and beauty. That is why I come to places like this. Mary, in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, written by Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, who brought together a bunch of Hebrew scholars to help him interpret the proper names throughout the Bible. And this is how they describe Mary: the feminine, the soul, the affectional and emotional phase of the human being, both when seemingly bound and limited by sensate thought and in its freed, exalted state. We have belittled the value of this feminine side of our nature. Our co-founder, Charles, knew this over 100 years ago. Well over 100 years ago. Many spiritual leaders and others have spoken to this truth. Many people write about it. We all kind of know it, but how do we get back there? Well, Mary is someone who can point the way. Mary can help us, but not just Mary, a being or a remembrance or a sense of a deified kind of energy, but you. Because you have that same love inside of you. And we need all of us. We need all hands on deck. Charles Fillmore uses this metaphor. He says that within the depths of the feeling quality and soul consciousness, we should be like one who, before a table, a great feast is laid out. And there are fine linens, and there is silver, and the dishes and the arrangements are perfect. But there is no food. Without our feeling nature, it's all there in the outer, but it's like a shell, right? He goes on to say, well, if there is food, then it has no seasoning, right? It has no flavor. He says, a service rendered without the depth of love, feeling, without the very substance of one's own being, is only a form, empty. It's love that fills our form. It's love that co-creates. It's love that lifts us up. It's love that heals. It's love that stops war. It's love that just shakes and rattles our cages until we go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. The horrors that we are committing as a whole humanity who has lost its way, who has lost the light, and just got angry. But when the divine feminine comes in, when the love comes forward, we realize, oh, underneath the anger is hurt, is sadness, is disappointment, is desecration. It's the loss of the sacredness of life that, oddly enough, has created a loss of sacredness, of life, of actions that display that. And all it all is a loss of love and a forgetting of the importance of our feeling nature that brings us back to our intuition, back to our guidance, puts us back on track. Henriette Speck is our volunteer coordinator. I saw her somewhere. I don't know. She's floating around somewhere. Are you here, Henriette? Yesterday we were at the eye care, as Carl mentioned, here in our community room with other faiths together, creating these beautiful meal kits for people who are hungry. And there was such an eagerness in the air when we got together. There was such a, you could just tell all the volunteers could not wait to participate, could not wait to give their energy to it. And I was chatting with Henriette for a moment, and Jeremy Branch, who's in our AV booth and organized the event, she said that the two of them had a conversation, and she said to him, "Jeremy, people are eating because of you." And when she said that, I felt it too. It's like, when we recognize love, when we speak love, words worth repeating, because I repeated that then to the whole volunteer group, to stop what they were doing and all their busyness of filling the, you know, and to hear these words, that people are eating because of you. That's what love does. It reminds us of our purpose. It reminds us of what we're about. It reminds us of what all the busyness is. And it even helps us to realize some of the busyness needs to go. But in the midst of whatever it is that we're doing, we can be still and know and remember that purpose of what it is that we're about. And for you to also remember that you are nourishing other people by being the presence of love, by remembering your own divine nature, feminine nature in particular right now, that's what we're talking about, to remember your feeling nature, that you become a beacon that helps other people find the light again, find the love again, because you remembered and you weren't willing to forget again. And you become that and you embody that and you keep walking this journey. That's the gift. That's the awakening. That's the story of Christmas. That's what it's all about. I imagine on that 80-mile journey to Bethlehem that Joseph is having this awakening. We get to view his evolution on this particular journey. We get to see the points along the way where there is transformation, in particular this point where he feels and he turns and he follows his intuition. And what does he find at the end of his gaze? Love. What does he feel? Love. That memory, that knowing. And so I can imagine his testimony to love. I can imagine if he was given a platform to speak out, what are you experiencing? That he might say something similar to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, this heartfelt and well-worn passage. And it's so well-worn because we love it so. Because it's all about love and the truth of love. And it goes something like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love rejoices in the truth. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. And now these three remain. You might know this part: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And then Paul, or in this case, as we're seeing it, Joseph's words, tags his testimony with this. He says, "When I became a man, I put away childish ways. I put childish ways behind me. In other words, I became an emotionally intelligent man. I put away my childish ways and I became an emotionally intelligent man who values love, who values intuition, who values my feeling nature and the feeling nature of those around me. Divine feminine energy is in all of us. This unending love, this pool of love that we can tap into is in all of us. And for far too long, we've hidden it. We've pushed it away. We've not allowed it to come forth or out or whatever. But it is the most brave act, not cowardly, but most brave act that allows us to feel in this way. My heart breaks when I think about this moment when my dad lost his beloved sister. He loved his sister more, I think, than anyone, or just very much anyway, let's just put it that way. And he was sitting by the fire one night, and he and I were the only ones up, and he started to cry. I think maybe I only saw him cry twice in his life, and the other time was kind of muffled and not so clear. But this time he was starting to cry. And through his tears, he was choking out his embarrassment of being a coward. And I, his young daughter, was very aware that it was quite the opposite and told him so. And it was a moment where divine feminine, divine masculine, embodied in male and female form, not always that way, I just want to say that over and over again, but in that moment, it was embodied in that way. And there was a knowing and a learning and a sharing and a bridge. Something was happening there. Through the generations, we learn and we transform and we grow together, helping each other find the light. And it is the portal of love, the portal of our own hearts that is right here available to us. Much as we may see our home origin way out there in the stars, for now, it's right here, accessible right here at any time. So our work is to open our hearts to love, to invite love in from all around us and from within us, and to be it, to embody it, to allow it to continue us on this journey. What a beautiful journey we are on. What an amazing journey your life has been up until now. The heartaches, the grief, the joys, the accomplishments, the amazing things that have surprised you, the miracles that have happened in your life, the people you have loved, the animals you have loved, the memories that you hold. What a soul experience you have had. And now it's time to let the love free, to release the love, because you know what the world needs now is love, sweet love. So I want to leave you with a statement of faith that the Fillmores made in 1921. It brings me hope. It's about the restoration of the divine feminine, and they say this: "We believe the Holy Mother, the Divine Feminine, is now being restored to her righteousness, and that she will reign equal with Jehovah in the heavens and the earth." Let's pray it so. Through all of us, we can become it, we can be it. Look up, and you'll remember your origin. Look within, and you'll be able to access the love. So let's say it together as we journey further toward Christmas, toward the complete awakening of this truth that we have talked about today, as we journey under the starry sky of the Divine Mother, we feel the love of the Christ within us. I invite you to say that with me. As I journey further under the starry sky of the Divine Mother Source, I feel the love of the Christ stir within me. So it is.